It is amazing, because if we are to be free, there's one thing we have to be found in. Does anybody know what that is? Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? He is, this is funny, he is truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you as a peoples. We come before you to hear your word, that you may speak to us and through us unto a world that so desperately needs you. Lord God, as we come together, both out there on the internet and here in this facility that we call our church, Lord God, we ask your blessing upon the hearers of this word, and I ask your blessing upon this pastor, that Lord God, you would separate me from this word, and that you would speak through me your word, your truth. For Lord God, I yield my spirit and my tongue unto you, that you would use me as your vessel. For I want to speak nothing of myself, but may your words ring true. For Lord God, you are the only one who gives us life, and from you comes the word of life. May we hear it, may we see it, and may we act upon it. In Christ Jesus' name. And the church says, and amen. You may open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, and the scriptures that we're going to be looking at will be up on the screen for the folks who are out there on the internet. And we're going to be even in Ephesians 6. We're continuing on in our series. We're actually now into the armor of God and looking at the various pieces. I'm going to break this down. I was going to do two pieces this week. That's what I told you. However, I'm going to break it down. I've got to deal with one piece here, and then next week I'll deal with another piece. But I want to go back. I want us to look, because each week we're going to remember why we're here. And we need to remember from verse 10 in Ephesians 6, we read these words. Because if we are alive in Christ, we have to understand, to be alive in Christ is not going to be an easy thing. So there's something we must do, and that is from verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, because all we carry about in ourselves is death. Okay, we need to understand that. If we are to be alive in Christ, the life we carry must be his. The strength we carry must be his. So how do we gain it? Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Please remember that the things that come against us each and every day of our lives, they may come at you from people, but we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against the powers and the principality. Oh, gee, I think that's the next couple verses, isn't it? So let's look at that. From verse 12 through 14a, it says, for our struggle, our fight, our wrestling is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. So we need to look at this and we need to say, okay, if I'm going to be strong in his might, if I'm going to put on his full armor so I can stand against the schemes, I need to be able to fight. I need to be able to struggle. I need to be able to wrestle. And in order to be able to do that, I have to resist as well, because it's the only way I'm going to be able to stand firm, the three words that we looked at last week. Amen. Because without those three things, you are not going to stand firm, you are not going to resist, you are not going to struggle, and you are not going to find yourself in the strength and the might of the Lord. You're going to be in your own strength, and you will find yourself defeated, because without Christ, we have nothing to protect us. So the very first thing he tells us here is to stand firm, therefore, from verse 14. And he says to us from 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I'm not going to deal with the breastplate today, but I am going to deal with the first portion of that where it says that we are to gird ourselves or gird our loins with truth. To gird our loins with truth. You know, I butcher pigs and deer and beef. I mean, I used to butcher a half a beef and a whole pig every year while I was a farmer, okay? I became a pastor, and I had to stop doing that stuff because I didn't have the farm to raise the animals. And one of the things that I loved was pork loin and beef loin, okay? How many of you like pork loin and beef loin? That's your best cuts in the meat, right? You know, it's funny because when you look at it, that's your T-bones, your Delmonico's, your set or sirloin, tri-tips. You know, I can keep going on because they have all these different names, but that's the loin in a beef. And in the pork, that's the pork chop. That's the Sunday meat, right? It's the other white meat. We all love that, right? Isn't it awesome? But in the Bible, it tells us that we're supposed to gird our loins. And I want us to understand what the scripture's speaking of when it says to gird your loins. What are our loins? Okay, I know what they are in a beef. I know what they are in a pork. All right? But what are they when it comes to me being spoken to as a physical and spiritual being? What are our loins? And it's kind of amazing because the loin is the area from which you gain strength. Now, I want you to think about that. We're all bipeds, okay? We are bipeds, which means we stand on 2 feet. We have 2 feet. So for us to stand up, we have to have strong loins. Where are our loins? Your loins run from the mid-thigh to the mid-back. If this area of your body is weak, you will not be able to stand, okay? Now, I'm going to pick on somebody, and I don't mean to be mean, but we all know she struggles. Ruth Ann, it's difficult when that area of your body's screwed up, isn't it? Very difficult. And we pray for you daily for strength because we know that area of your body has been weakened, and we see the effect, and we can understand. We have a very physical reality right here in our midst to see how difficult it is. And praise God for those of us who have never had back problems. How many of you have had back problems? Okay? Yeah, I have. All right? I know what that's like. And it's not fun because it can completely and totally incapacitate you. So when your loins are not strong, you are not strong. You are not well. You are not able to go into battle because we need to remember this is talking about a battle. And if you are a Christian, you are going to find yourself in battle every day. Your loins need to be strong in a very spiritual sense. Physically, the body is weak, but the spirit is willing. Remember, Jesus spoke that to his disciples when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because he understood that the body's weak, but the spirit can be strong. How is that? Because God is able to strengthen our loins spiritually, and we will be able to stand up in that. I want to show you what I'm talking about. So turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Now, I want to preface this just a little bit. Yep, went to the wrong book. Yes, I did. Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to preface this just a little bit with these thoughts. Jeremiah is known as what prophet in the Old Testament? Does anybody know? Yeah, he's known as the weeping prophet. He's known as the weeping prophet. Okay, because Jeremiah, he is a very emotional man, okay? There are several times throughout the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, okay, because Jeremiah wrote both of those. And when we look at them and we understand Jeremiah, all of a sudden we get the idea that this guy wept a lot. He was very emotional, okay? And people thought he was weak, but the reality was he was an extremely strong man. How do I know that? because of what God does in chapter 1 to Jeremiah. I want you to read with me verses 17 through 19. This is Jeremiah's call. Jeremiah is called to be a prophet here. And here's this guy who's so emotional. How many of you know emotional men that seem like, oh my goodness, you know, there's not a strength in their body. They're so emotional, they just, you know, wallow around in emotion, right? None of us know any guys like that, right? You know, I used to know a gentleman like that, and I mean no disrespect because I loved him with all my heart. Beth's dad, okay? Beth's dad, Pop Pfeiffer. But I'll guarantee you, that man was in the military. That man knew what it meant to be in a battle, knew what it meant to fight. He had strong loins, but he was also a very emotional man, and he had worth. He was able to stand under the pressures that were around. And how did Jeremiah stand? Look at verses 17 through 19. Look at verses 17 through 19. This is the word of God spoken to the prophet, and he says, "Now, gird up your loins and arise. You speak to them all which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, or I will dismay you before them. Now behold," get this, "I have made you today as a fortified city and as a pillar of iron and as walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is what I'm talking about. Our loins, that inner strength, there from which we get our strength to go. God is able to strengthen us as a fortified city, as a pillar of iron. Okay? How easy is it to bend a pillar of iron? How easy is it to break into a fortified city? It's not. And if you have girded yourself with truth, you will be that strong because it is the might of God that you are bringing upon yourself. You are girding your loins with truth. Now, we're going to talk about to gird, but I need us to understand that our loins is from where we gain that strength. You all got that now, right? And that strength in Christ Jesus is as a fortified city, is as a pillar of iron, which means we will not be bent and we will not be trampled upon. For God will be with us, and Jesus says, how long? To the end of the age. I will be with you always unto the end of the age. Because at the end of the age, he takes us to be with him. Amen? And that's a truth that we need to hold on to. So that when our loins are girded with truth, God will keep us. We just simply need to trust God. That's how we gain his strength. We just prayed the prayer. It is by faith that we walk, right? By faith, the ancients believed. And look what they were able to accomplish. What could the church accomplish if we truly walked by faith? If our loins were girded with truth, and that alone, how much could we do? But that's just the beginning of our armor, and I'm just talking about loins. Now, ladies, how many of you used to wear a girdle? I'm looking at the older ladies because the younger ladies don't wear girdles anymore, right? I don't even know if they sell them. Do they sell them, ladies? Yes, they do. Okay. I can remember my mother had this thing that she would put on, and I'm telling you, till she got that thing on, I don't see how she ever got it on because, you know, it was so tight, it sucked her in, you know, and they used to have them that they had strings on them, and you'd see somebody putting their knee against a woman's back, pulling these strings tight, okay, to make that waistline, right? And it's so funny because a girdle was meant to pull the waist in, to help strengthen up, to bind it in, okay? And we are to gird our loins. We are to bind it in. In some of the scriptures, it's translated, instead of saying gird, it says buckle the belt of truth around your waist, okay? Because, you know, hey, guys don't wear girdles. So we're going to talk about a belt. But the word there is to gird, Okay? That means to strengthen, to fortify, to add assistance to. Because this area of your body, if it is attacked, if it is stricken, you are going to falter. All right? And God wants to give us a girdle, okay, to strengthen us, to fortify us, to solidify ourselves, that we will not be moved easily. It is for protection. It is a piece of armor. In the Roman times, this is kind of amazing. It was a wide leather belt, heavy leather, up to a half inch thick leather. Okay? Can you imagine how tough that was, half inch thick leather? They would wrap it around their waist, and then from it, there were pieces of leather that guarded the thighs and the buttocks area. Because if you would get struck in any of that area, you were down, you were out, you were not fighting again. So they had these strips so that it moved. It looked like, this is going to sound funny, guys, but it looked like a skirt made out of leather. And instead of being pleated, it was individual pieces about 2 to 3 inches wide, and they moved independently so you could walk. But if you were struck with a sword, it would hit that hard leather, that heavy leather, and the blow would glance off, and it would not penetrate. So when he tells us this, he's telling us that he's giving us a protection that the outside cannot penetrate, that it cannot get through, all right? And if we want something that is going to give us a protection, because we need to remember, God wants us to gird our loins with truth. We need to then understand where that truth comes from. But I want you to think about girding in another fashion as well. Because God girds us for different things. I want you to think about one of the most famous people that we all know. I don't think any of us have ever met him personally, at least not physically. But yet we all know him. We all claim to know him. Jesus Christ. For you see, God truly showed us what Jesus came for in a very simple story and in the way that he girded himself. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John in the 13th chapter, John 13. John 13. Verses 4 through 8. This is a most amazing thing, but I want us to understand why Jesus was able to succeed at the cross. Okay? Look. Now remember, he's truth himself, but truth had to be girded up. But watch how God girds truth here. He got up from supper, he being Jesus, and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. He wrapped that towel around his waist section. He then poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now, folks, I want you to understand what just happened there. You see, when Jesus girded himself with that towel, when he put that towel around himself, he girded himself with servanthood. He became the lowest of all the servants in the household. He who is God Almighty, he who is truth, needs nothing else, took upon himself the girdle of a servant. He girded himself that nothing else would come out, nothing else would be him, except the heart and the being of a servant for all of us. This happened right, I want you to think about this. This is before the cross, okay? This is right before the cross. Because as Jesus entered into that portion of his ministry, he left the portion of being a teacher and having the mantle of prophet on him, and he took upon himself, he girded himself to be a servant unto death. Do you see how it protected him, how it served him to the very cross? Because if he had not girded himself, he would have been able to call upon all the angels and wipe everything out and start over. But he yielded himself to the Father in such a way that he girded himself to as a servant unto death. And that by the power of God. You and I need to understand that when we gird ourselves with truth, we have the same type of fortification unto life, unto the battle, unto the survival of our souls. As Jesus was able to accomplish the cross, how many of you would have willingly walked to the cross? Whew. There's no way. There's no way. Because to die in such a manner was a horrendous thing. We'd have done everything at all costs to get away from that, wouldn't we? But Jesus Christ, who is truth, knew why he was here, loved us all more than he loved himself, girded himself as a servant so that he would be able to stand in the truth and strength of that anointing. We are asked to take on the anointing of God's full armor for whatever he has us prepared for. For some of us, it's to be elders. Some of us, it's to be deacons. Some of us, to be Sunday school teachers. Some of us, to be, and I want you to hear this, the foot soldiers of Christ out there on the move every day. How many foot soldiers are there in Christ on the move every day? Every hand should be in the air, because every one of us, I don't care if you're an elder, a deacon, I don't care who you are or what you're doing, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a foot soldier. And I'm telling you right now, no army that goes into battle can go into battle without foot soldiers. It is won by the foot soldiers, okay? You need to understand that. It's feet on the ground that makes all the difference. Look at our own military. It's not until feet are on the ground until the victory is won. And we need to be those feet. But if we're going to be those feet, then we need to have our loins girded. We need to have our loins girded with truth. Just as Jesus had his loins girded with a towel to be a servant, so too do we need truth. Why truth? Well, turn to John 14, 6 through 10. John 14, 6 through 10. We all know this scripture, don't we? We know a portion of it by heart, just about the first piece here. And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, I have been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding me does his work. Every time we call upon the name of Jesus, every time we believe in the name of Jesus, every time we speak the words of Christ, we are speaking truth. God alone is truth. In fact, the Old Testament says it so many times that he is the God of truth, God of truth, God of truth. Capital G, not little g, okay? Capital G. He is the only truth. Jesus here spoke it. I am All right? He doesn't say I'm one of, I am. And we need to understand who is I am. That's God, right? That's his name. The truth, the way, the life, all right? Or the way, the truth, the life. We need to understand that when we are putting on this truth, when we are girding our loins with truth, we are defending ourselves in such a way that we will be able to see into every deception that is out there. We will know truth by its very nature. Okay? When we look at the things that are happening out there in the world today, how many of you listen to the networks and you say to yourself, as soon as they start speaking, well, that's a lie. Well, that's a lie. Well, that's a lie. That's why I turned it off. I got tired of calling everybody liars. Because that's what they are. They have an agenda that they want to promote. And if we are in Christ Jesus, we can see the lies. We can understand the deception that comes at us, and we can combat it because truth will set us free. Set us free from what? Set us free from sin and evil, and we'll be able to detect darkness from light because that is evil and life, dark and light. And it gives us the ability to walk transparently in a life that would otherwise be defeated. Because we ourselves, in our human nature, we have a fallen nature. Amen? Each and every one of us is a fallen creature. And we would go back to, we would return to that from which we came. As soon as the battle started and things started getting tough, how many people want to retreat? How many of you love conflict? Okay? You know, they had all kinds of classes when I was in college for conflict resolution. Guess how many of them I took? You're about right, that many. But it's amazing when I think about it, because we are going to be in conflict all the time because Christ Jesus comes against, the truth of God comes against the nature of man. And we have to be prepared. And since all we have in and of ourselves is darkness, because outside of Christ, that's all we have, we need to put truth on. We need to take on truth. And in the Bible, we know this to be true. John 1:1. What does it say? What is John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Remember, I always change that because it's present tense. All right? It's not something that was and is no more. It is and always will be. Amen? So we need to remember that the Word is God. And if we are going to put on the truth, don't you think you need to know what's in there? Okay? How many of you read the labels on the food that you eat? How many of you read the labels on the food that you eat? Okay? That's amazing. That's kind of cool. I know I read the labels because I like to see the words on there that I can't pronounce, okay? Triglutium monosulfate de facto elemento supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. There are a lot of people that tell me when they read the Bible, that's what they feel like they're doing. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Well, guess what? You won't understand it if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Because the Holy Spirit is the only one who can illuminate us to the Word of God. It's amazing because when I look at this book, and I have to laugh when people tell me, well, I don't understand it. And I'll look at them and say, are you reading an English version? And that gets them because it's like, well, of course. Oh, okay, here, read the newspaper. Well, yeah, I understand that. Well, now read this. I don't know what that means. No, you don't want to follow it. Say what you really mean, right? You don't want to follow it because it sets parameters. It tells us what's right. It tells us what's wrong. It begins a relationship that ends in a love relationship with Jesus Christ. It begins a time of transformation. And when we walk in the truth, It will transform us. It will give us hope. It will give us strength, and it will bolster us against all things evil. So we need to know that when we are walking, it makes us unwavering. If you know the truth, if you know the truth, okay, how many of you are going to change your mind knowing the truth? Well, yeah, okay, so, you know, whatever. I mean, I can make something up, and I really don't want to. I want you to think about it. If you know you're right, if you know you're right, are you going to give it up just for the sake because I don't want to argue? Do you know how many people in the world will do that? No, I don't want to argue, so yeah, we'll compromise. Wrong chicken. Wrong chicken. You do not get anywhere in the world by compromising on such a level. Look at what is happening in our world because of compromising. Well, okay, you know, well, marriage can be between whatever, whoever. You know, it's just a word, you know, it's just a word. And it can mean whatever we want it to mean. No, God defines marriage. One man, one woman, period. I don't care. That's just the way it is. You want to call it something else? Call it hoofteroptaberber. Okay? It ain't marriage. If you understand truth, if you know truth, it will set you free. That you can literally see evil, that you will be unwavering in Jesus Christ, and everything that comes at you. You know, truth enables us to see false doctrine. Okay? I think it's amazing, because how many of you folks out there have heard somebody say something to you like, God helps those who helps themselves. You know the Bible says that. I look at them and I say, book, chapter, and verse, please. Because it's not in there. There are so many people who have told me, well, you know the Bible says, and I'll hand them the Bible and I'll say, would you please show me? Well, I don't know where it is, but I was told, whoop! If you haven't read it, if you don't know him, don't tell me what he said. And then they'll look at me and they'll say, oh, you mean to tell me you've read that whole book? About 12 times now. What? Yeah, he's my Lord. Do you think I don't want to know him? I want to emphatically know him. If we're to gird ourselves with truth, don't you think it'd be nice to read the book? I want to end with these scriptures. John 8, 32. John 8, 32. I've already spoken it, but I need you to see it. Because again, I don't want you just to hear me. I want you to understand that God's word says it. It's real, and there's no changing it. John chapter 8, verse 32, ends thusly. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When you gird yourself, you are a free man. Do you understand that? How many slaves would fight to death? How many free men who know that what they are fighting for is their very freedom are going to give up? I will lay my life down for my freedoms and my family, because that's the import of the principle. Jesus laid his life down for us as a servant of truth. I will lay my life down as a warrior for truth. How about you? Are you ready to go to battle yet? Don't go rushing off. We only have one piece of armor. There's a whole bunch more coming. So let's get fully equipped. Remember, we as individuals, we like to run off half-cocked, right? You know, a little bit of information is dangerous to you, okay? Not to anybody else. It's dangerous to you, okay? Why do you think they call second-year students in college sophomores? What does the word sophomore mean? What's that? Oh, okay. What does the word sophomore mean? Huh? Broke. Second year of college. Mom and dad maybe. Sophomore means a simple moron. The word sophomore means simple moron. It's the Latin for simple moron. In other words, you've had 1 year of college. You think you know everything. Now we're going to show you just how stupid you really are. Okay? That's because get 1 year of college. Oh, I've got my degree already. No, you ain't there. So we need to remember, don't run off with one piece of armor on. You're going to get hurt. Let's get the rest of it. Okay? Let's not be a sophomore. Let's become seniors. And granulate. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you as your children, as your people. And Lord God, we've just spoken on the very first piece of armor to get into this battle. And it has to be the belt of truth. Because if we don't start there, Lord God, the rest of the pieces aren't going to matter. Because it's what holds it all together. It is the girding of our strength. And if our strength is not covered, nothing else is going to matter. So, Lord God, we give our strength to you that we would walk with you and love you with all our might. Thank you for this word. Walk with us now throughout this week unto the coming weeks that we may see the foundation of your love in our lives that we may stand firm. In Christ's name. Amen.
You have been watching a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.